You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for joining us. The JX starts today with the debrief, where JPR reporters discuss the stories they've been covering this week, including the investigation into a Fortuna Animal Sanctuary, Del Norte County's first homeless shelter, and an Oregon court's decision to overturn Robert Keegan's conviction. I'm Maria Carter, JPR's news director.
I'm Justin Higginbottom, public health and safety reporter.
I'm Jane Vaughn, housing, homelessness, and education reporter.
And I'm Peyton Gast, JPR's Snowden intern for the summer.
That's a new voice for all of our listeners there. Welcome, Peyton. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Yes, thank you. I am going to be a rising senior here at the University of Oregon in Eugene. I'm studying journalism, but I'm originally from the Portland area. And a little fun fact about me, I cannot whistle.
But she's been working on it.
I've been working on it.
And you mentioned you were a Snowden intern. What is that program exactly?
Yeah, the Snowden program is super cool. It's like a really competitive 10-week internship where students are just paired up with different news outlets around Oregon and some in Washington and California. And we just get to do like journalism full time over the summer. So it's a really awesome learning opportunity to just be thrown into the deep end.
We hope you say that after the 10 weeks.
Too. Yeah.
What are you most looking forward to about your internship at JPR this summer?
There's so many things. I think, namely, I'm thrilled to not only just be living in Ashland and experiencing this place, but also getting to learn about it and the inner workings through the work I do with the radio. It just feels like such a privilege to be able to deliver this news.
Well, we're really excited to have you here, Peyton.
Thanks so much.
Okay, well, now let's move on to Justin. Justin, you reported on an update to an investigation into an animal sanctuary in Humboldt County. Can you tell us about that update?
Yeah, so this is an investigation of Miranda's Rescue. That's an animal sanctuary, a 50-acre property in Fortuna, so in Humboldt County. And authorities are investigating the owner, Shannon Miranda, for fraud and animal cruelty. So this started after local residents actually snuck onto his property and dug up dead dogs recently that appeared to have been shot. So they gave that evidence to police, and they are alleging that the owner has been killing animals that shelters have sent to the sanctuary for adoption. Shannon Miranda has not been charged with any crime. It's important to point that out. But authorities have served two search warrants so far on the property, and this most recent search involved bringing excavators and a lot of equipment like that onto the land.
And do we know what they are looking for?
The Humboldt County Sheriff's Office says they are looking for dead animals. The gist of it comes down to these allegations that Miranda has been accepting animals from some really all over the country, but shelters especially, but also individuals drop off their pets there. And shelters will pay them hundreds, sometimes even thousands of dollars to take an animal like a dog. But rather than letting the animal, you know, live its life at the sanctuary or adopting them out, people have alleged that he's been killing them, shooting them, and burying them all over his property. So police have been there most of this week using this ground-penetrating radar and looking for what they called anomalies, so I guess graves. They have an X-ray machine to determine the cause of death for these animals that they found. And this is a really big effort. So it involves not only the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office, but several federal agencies like the FBI, the USDA sent forensic veterinarians, state authorities are also involved, and they're also collecting financial and adoption records at the property.
And what have authorities found so far?
I checked this morning for an update, and so far there are reports that they've found dozens of dogs buried on the property, and I think at least one horse. So we don't know much about the state of those animals or how they were killed. I think we're going to have to wait, I think, to know much more. Again, I want to, you know, remind people Miranda hasn't been charged with any crime and he's denied wrongdoing. But what's interesting is what authorities have also, you know, not found at the property. So the sheriff says records show shelters have sent more than 800 animals to Miranda's Rescue just this year. And the sheriff can only account for around 100 of those animals. So there's over 700 animals that they have no idea where they went. You know, again, I feel like this is going to be a very long and complex case. The sheriff had a press conference this week And he mentioned something interesting. He said, you know, it is legal in California to shoot your dog. You can put down your pet if you'd like, as long as it's in a sort of humane way. What's illegal is torturing an animal or killing it in an inhumane way. So as they find these dead animals, that's what investigators will be trying to determine, whether or not they were, I guess, killed in a humane way. I think the fraud part of this case will be more cut and dry. So if Miranda was accepting animals for money and not doing what he said he promised to do, then that seems like less of a gray area. But again, expect to hear more stories, you know, not only on this specific case, but kind of I'm going to explore policies in California that makes something like this even possible. I think there's a wider regulatory issue here.
Yeah, and I look forward to that, hearing more about that. Thanks, Justin. Jane, you had a story this week on what county officials say is the first homeless shelter in Del Norte County. Tell us about that.
Right. This is one that I've been honestly waiting for months. I've been bugging the county officials, emailing them every month. It was supposed to open in December, and so I've been curious to see it come to fruition. When will it open? And they had some delays, obviously, with getting it open. But they did recently hold a ribbon-cutting ceremony for a new county homeless shelter, which is in Crescent City. It's mostly supported. They've got this $10.8 million grant from a state grant. And so that money is mostly used for constructing the building. And then some of it will be used for ongoing operational costs, too. The land that it's on is owned by the county. And they're really excited about it because they say that they are filling a gap that they don't really have addressed otherwise in the county, that sort of transitional housing piece for homeless folks who are trying to maybe move from the street into permanent long-term housing.
And how exactly will this new shelter work?
So the first stage is this new shelter building, which is a 60-bed shelter. They call it congregate living style, which is basically just a bunch of beds in a room. It's a shared living space, as opposed to apartments or other types of living. And there is laundry and bathrooms and showers, community spaces, meals, all that sort of thing. They also have wraparound services and other supports, case management. As I said, this is meant to be a temporary transitional project for people. And so the goal is to get them into longer-term permanent housing. There will be staff on site 24/7. There will be pets allowed with some conditions. Minors will not be housed there, so it's for adults. And it will all be managed and operated by this local homeless services nonprofit, which is called Del Norte Mission Possible. So that's stage one that they had the ribbon cutting for recently. And then a second phase is coming later, which will be a 50-unit tiny home village. They're calling it a micro village, sort of those pop-up rooms, little micro homes. And those will be for people who will maybe are ready for a little bit more independence before they move into permanent housing. So they could, in theory, move out of the homeless shelter into the micro village and then hopefully into long-term permanent housing. And that micro village, I will note, would have, you know, the same amenities that the shelter will have, the wraparound services, laundry, bathroom, showers, all that good stuff. And so the timeline for that is a little bit still up in the air for that one.
And and that's expected to be opening soon?
Yeah, the 60-bed shelter is supposed to open in the coming weeks. They still need an occupancy permit that's being reinspected next week. So hopefully quite soon in the next couple weeks for that 60-bed shelter part. As I said, the 50-bed micro-village part is a little bit more to be determined. That'll be coming later. They're still figuring out the timeline for that piece of it, but they're starting with a 60-bed shelter building. Anyone who's interested or might want to stay there can reach out to either Del Norte Mission Possible, or I talk to people at the Del Norte County Behavioral Health Department as well.
And Justin, you also reported this week on an update on the shooting of Aiden Ellison in Ashland. This is a local case that made national headlines. Can you first remind us what this case was about?
Yeah, so in 2020, Aiden Ellison was staying at a hotel in Ashland. And according to court documents, he was playing music loudly pretty early in the morning at like 4 a.m., and a man named Robert Keegan approached Ellison and told him to turn it down, although probably in a more rude way than that. anyways, they got in an argument that escalated into a physical fight, and Keegan, who was armed, he shot and killed Ellison. And so for some important context, Ellison was a 19-year-old black man, and Keegan is white, and this happened in 2020, so at the height of Black Lives Matter protests. And the shooting was seen by some as evidence of racism in Ashland. Ashland is a predominantly white community. And so it was another headline in these cases of black people being shot in the country.
And Keegan was charged for that shooting, and it went to trial, right?
Right. So it went to trial. The jury didn't find Keegan guilty of murder, but he was convicted of manslaughter and a couple misdemeanors. He was sentenced to 10 years for that, but he appealed the decision. And this week, the Oregon Court of Appeals overturned that conviction.
And why did they overturn that?
So it comes down to a judge saying that prosecutors, so in this case the Jackson County DA, was wrong in instructing the jury about the limits to self-defense. So before trial, both sides, the prosecutors and defense, talk to the jury and instruct them on law. And that law is supposed to be relevant to this case that they're going to hear. So prosecutors in Keegan's trial told jurors about this limit to self-defense called combat by agreement, which is actually something I didn't heard about until I wrote this story. But under Oregon law, someone generally can't claim self-defense if they agree to a fight beforehand. So if two sides agree to fight and you accidentally, you know, kill the person, you can't say that was out of self-defense. That won't hold up in court. So the appeals court said that, you know, while that law does exist, it's not relevant to this case. You know, Keegan and Ellison didn't agree to the fight. It wasn't like a duel or a boxing match or anything. And so the appellate judge said the instruction could have actually confused jurors, and he overturned that conviction.
And so the conviction's been overturned. What happens next?
I spoke with the DA's office, and they will retry Keegan. So basically do the entire trial again. And originally this trial ended in 2023. So they can't try Keegan for murder because a jury has acquitted him of that. And in Oregon, you can't be tried for murder twice if you're acquitted. But they will try him for the manslaughter conviction again. And currently, you know, Keegan's in jail. A judge has set his bail at $500,000. He has a pretrial meeting early next month. But, yeah, we're going to follow this trial again.
Okay. And, Justin, you also reported on a proposal to build an AI data center in Mount Shasta. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, this kind of took off, especially on social media this week. So city officials, Mount Shasta officials, broke the news at a city council meeting on Monday, I believe. And they said a company has approached the city to build an AI data center at the former Crystal Geyser bottling plant. So that property has access to a very productive well with really clean water. It's been filtered naturally through this volcanic rock. And data centers, they need a lot of water to cool their servers. So you can expect, you know, residents were not happy when they heard about this offer. Water is a very vital and important resource in the community. We don't know the name of the company who wants to build this, and city officials have not told me that. They refuse to say the name. But a company has approached them to build this AI data center.
And what are the chances this unnamed company builds a data center at this property?
Pretty low. So even when the planning director brought this up in the city council meeting, he kind of said it in a way like, you know, this isn't likely, but I have to, you know, tell the public that we were approached. I spoke with the mayor too, and he's not in favor of this potential data center. You know, there's also just very vocal residents in Mount Shasta that are concerned over the environment and water quality. A local tribe has come out against it. So I think the chances are pretty low if you're going to take Mount Shasta residents' concerns about it. But what's interesting is that the property is technically on county land. So Mount Shasta does plan to annex this property, but right now it's within the county's borders.
Yeah, so it's an unincorporated area.
Yeah, exactly. So technically, you know, it's up to the county to decide what development goes there right now, but Mount Shasta says they do plan to annex it, and then that will give them more control over development.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Justin. That's it for the debrief this week. Thanks for listening. You can reach the newsroom with comments on our coverage and suggestions for things we should cover in the future through our news tip line. That's on our website, ijpr.org. And you can find this program and more at jeffexchange.org or on your favorite podcast platform.